Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Ascension of Jesus into Heaven. What's that mean for us?
Grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So great to be back with you. I had my time up there in Cape Cod with my parents recently, or my dad up in heaven, and my mom and family at the memorial service. So great to be back here, though, with you and get Dad secure in heaven. Today is the Sunday of the Ascension. So this is what happened between Easter, or the resurrection, and Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus ascended and went up to heaven. So let's talk about that today and see what great benefit that is to us, an advantage for our joy and our peace and our hope and our power as Christians, that our Lord is actually at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high of God. Let's read that in Acts chapter 1 to start out. In the first book, writes Luke, he says, In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he'd given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that when they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It's not for you to know times and seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So that's Jesus' resurrection. You know, as Christians, we often talk about Jesus' death on the cross for us. We accent that, and rightly so. That's the greatest. And we accent his resurrection, that he rose from the dead on the third day, and that's great. That's marvelous. Nothing better than that. We accent that. But what we often forget is, also, he ascended. This is as important as the rest, that he went up to God at the right hand of the throne in heaven. And we say this in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father, right? And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. This is our confession as Christians, and it's the truth. And so, what is the advantage, though, of this? How does that bless us? We know the cross blesses us. We know the resurrection blesses us. How does the ascension bless us? Let's talk about that. The first thing and the first way in which the ascension blesses us is that we have a risen Savior who is alive. He ascended really in three ways, if you think about it. When he died on the cross, his spirit descended to the land of the dead, to Sheol, to the place of the departed souls, as it was referred to in the Old Testament. In Ephesians 4, we read, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Did you know that when Christ died on the cross, his body was in the grave, but his spirit went somewhere? Where did it go? Down to Sheol, to the place of the departed. And Peter says, 1 Peter 3, verse 19, the spirit in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly didn't obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. So that's another sermon, and that's a mystery. What he did down there in those 3 days in the land of Sheol, in the place of the departed souls, but from there he ascended. Amen? His spirit came up again to the land of the living, because second way he ascended was also with his body. When his body was placed in the grave, it was ascended, it rose from that up into the land of the living again. His spirit and his soul together, we read, appeared to the disciples for 40 days, and he showed himself alive by many proofs. So his ascension means we have a risen Savior and a living one. And then the third way he ascended is the main one that we're focusing on, is that after those 40 days, and speaking of the kingdom of God, he went up to heaven before their eyes. Can you picture that? You're talking with Jesus, he's speaking with you about the kingdom, and all of a sudden, he just lifts up and he flies like Superman up into a cloud into heaven. Better than Superman, by the way. You know, Superman's just Zeus, really. But Jesus is the truth. He is the king. And he lives forever there. Where is he? He's at the right hand of God. Paul says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, for death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So the ascension, the first thing I see in here, is that we having an ascended Lord means we have a living Lord who's risen. And he's risen so high, he's higher than anything else. He's at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And this gave the early church such excitement for their faith. Should give our faith excitement too, because what does this mean? It's that we have a God, Jesus, our Lord, with whom you can interact. He's alive. Two-way conversations. Look at what he says here in Acts 9. The Lord said to Ananias in a vision, he says, Ananias, here I am, Lord. Rise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul. Behold, he's praying, and he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon his name. But the Lord, that's Jesus, said to him, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Now that would be quite a conversation for a dead man to have, wouldn't it? I mean, interactions, Ananias, and yes, and here I have something for you to do, and I have a question for you, Lord, and here's my explanation. Go and do it anyway. I mean, we have a living Lord. We have a God at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus in heaven, that we can talk with. Does he talk with you? He's alive and ascended. The early church was excited, for the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, don't be afraid, Paul, but speak and don't be silent. I'm with you, and no man shall attack you, for I have many people in the city. Does the Lord speak with you? Does he talk with you? Does he give you words? He's preaching to you right now through me. You know, Billy Graham, at one point early in his ministry, he was asked by a news reporter, how can you be so certain that this Jesus you preach is alive? Well, Billy Graham said, well, I just spoke with him this morning. You know, when I went up to my dad's memorial just the other week, and I was kind of nervous and wondering how I was going to go, and a little down, actually. And I was on the bus from Boston down to Cape Cod, and I was talking with the Lord about my concerns and feelings of the whole week upcoming, and I felt like I just had to survive it. And I know it's cliche, but I felt like the Lord said, Greg, don't go there to just survive. Go there to thrive. Bless your family. Let this be a time of healing and celebrating me. And it completely changed my mindset. And I went there with a better attitude and positivity and a mission. And it really was blessed that way. We didn't just survive the whole experience, but we thrived. And we celebrated my dad's salvation. He's risen, he's alive, he talks with you, two-way conversation. Let's rejoice that he has ascended to heaven. Secondly, he's not only a risen Savior, but he's really a right there Savior for us. Because he's ascended, he's with you always. Can we find that in the scriptures? Absolutely. Ephesians 4, Paul's talking about Christ's ascension, and he says, in saying he ascended, what's it mean but that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So why did Jesus ascend up there to the right hand? Or what's one of the benefits of it? The result is that he might fill all things. You know, when Jesus came to the earth and he was just in our flesh, he was one day in Jerusalem, and another day he was in Judea, another day he was in Samaria, another day he was out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, another day he was on a hillside. He was in one place at one time, at one time. But when he ascended, what happened? He took on his godhood powers, which he always had, but he divested himself of them when he came down to be one of us. He took on his omnipresence again. He ascended that he might fill all things. That means there's never a place you can go anymore to be alone. Jesus is always with you. You know, when I got back this Monday from Cape Cod, immediately I went and heard about John Swindoll going in to have massive brain surgery. And he had a 50% chance of survival. And I talked with May on the phone, and his wife, and then I rushed down there as well. But you know what? May was not alone through that experience. She felt like, oh no, I could maybe be even a widow. I can maybe be alone, but she knew God was with her. You know why? Because Jesus is ascended. Because he's ascended, he's filled all things. There's never a place you can go. He's not there with you, right? Lynn, you know that experience with your husband when he was in the hospital. I'm with you, Lynn. I'm with you, Greg. I'm with you, Ian. I'm with you, Art. I'm with you, Bill and Zuleika. I'm with you, Greg. There's never a place we can go anymore where he isn't. And I felt his presence with me, especially this last week. You know, we have fulfilled in better times, better ways than ever. Where shall I go from thy spirit? And where shall I flee from your presence? Said David in Psalm 139. If I ascend to heaven, well, then you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in other words, if I descend, you're there too. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. That's the promise we have in Jesus' ascension, that he's not only a risen and alive Savior for you to have a real relationship with, but he's a right there Savior with you. You're never alone. I'm with you always to the close of the age is the promise through his ascension. Thirdly, not just risen, not just right there, but he is also a ruling Savior for you. Because where did Jesus ascend to? We read, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool for his feet. Paul also says, I want you to know, Christians, the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. According to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what does this mean? That Jesus ascended means that your Lord, who's alive and risen, with whom you can interact, who is also right there for you, is also in full power, in full authority to rule on your behalf throughout your lives. You know, if we were on an NFL team and we were in the Super Bowl and we're fighting some, let's say the Giants, right? In this case, bad guys, evil forces. That would mean that Jesus, though, is not only your coach, he's also your quarterback. He also commands your whole team, which is innumerable angels, an army. He's also the referee on the field. And he also, whatever he says from the skybox happens on the field. He controls the motions of the enemy and the motions of his own people. And he rules everything on behalf of you for your good, for your welfare, for your peace, for your prosperity, for the extension of the kingdom on the earth. So we're kind of like, if you think of it, the brothers of Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember, they were in famine, they were in weakness in the land of Canaan, and they thought that their brother, like Christ, was betrayed for pieces of silver, that he was killed and he no longer was alive on the earth. They considered him dead. But after a little time, they found him oh my goodness, Joseph is alive? And he's at the right hand of Pharaoh? And he has all authority given into his hand? And Joseph says to his brothers, see, God sent me ahead of you into this position of power that I might provide for you, keep you alive, take care of you, and look, I'll give you the best of the land, Goshen, and the land is before you. You know, Jesus, our brother, betrayed for pieces of silver, considered dead, was found alive, and he's at the right hand, not of Pharaoh, but of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm far above all rule and authority and power over all of your enemies. Don't be afraid of them. You're not in a position of weakness, but of power. You're not in a position of fear, but of faith. You're not victims, but you're victors. I make you more than conquerors. I'm in the skybox calling the shots. I'm not only risen, I'm not only right there, but I am ruling on behalf of my church. So, do you have a spirit of fear today? Weakness, feeling like the bad guys are in positions of power in the world where their positions are as nothing compared with your Lord. Therefore, we will not fear, says the psalmist in Psalm 46, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, for God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. See, he's ruling, friends, on your behalf. I hope you know today the immeasurable greatness of his power that's at work for you from where he rules at the right hand of God. Fourthly, he's not only risen, he's not only right there, he's not only ruling, but he's also a reaching out Savior. Because from the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, he extends his royal scepter in your direction for power, to empower you in your life from his ascension, to give you victory. For he said to the apostles, I didn't say these things to you at first from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. I'm going to ascend. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I know, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Why do we rejoice in Jesus' ascension? Is because if he doesn't go up, the Spirit doesn't come down. But he says, if I go up, I will send the Spirit down. So you're going to have two friends now. Not just me on earth, but a friend at the highest place and a friend on earth in the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to you. He had to go up for the Spirit to come down. And who is the Holy Spirit to us? His name in the Greek, Paraclete, means I will send you from the throne a helper, another one to come along beside you, one to comfort you in all of your life, one to counsel you, to guide you into all the truth, to empower you for your entire life, to give you the victory, an advocate on your side, an encourager, a friend. I send you from on high, from my throne, the Holy Spirit. And so, when Jesus is reaching out to you from heaven, he's reaching out to you in the Spirit. Do you rejoice in that today? That the Spirit empowers, for example, me to preach. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Jesus said to the apostles. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He preaches to you to work faith into you. That's power. Because what is faith? It's the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, that gives you eternal life. For you have faith in the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is the power that enables you to believe and for me to preach. He baptizes you and seals you for the day of redemption, making you to be born again and alive in him. That's the power from the throne, from God's, Jesus' royal scepter directed in your direction. And he also, through his scepter, seals you. In him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That means no evil can touch you. No, it can't come in and harm you in your life, though you have to fight it, but it can't defeat you. All the powers of evil may array themselves against you, but they will stand back in awe at the power and the shine that is within you to cause them to be in defeat. He will teach you and guide you When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth and give you what belongs to Jesus. For when the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me, Jesus says, and he'll take what's mine and declare it to you. That comes from Jesus' ascension. And the Spirit empowers you to daily become more like the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another, and this comes from the Spirit. So, in your lives, his hand is continually before you. From the throne on high, he is ordering all the events of your lives. You know, when I was heading up to my dad's memorial service, in January, I chose the second week after Easter to go see my dad. I didn't know when he was going to pass away, but even from there, Jesus is directing my steps. It happened to be the very week my dad was going to go home to glory, and I got to be with him and close his eyes like Joseph did for Jacob. I didn't know that. I can't know that. You can't know the events and the days of your lives in the future, but Jesus, ascended at the right hand, can do it. He knows these things, and he orders through the Spirit your lives for the good. And we are therefore in a position of power and victory by his ascension. And finally, Jesus' ascension means for us, he's not only risen, he's not only right there for you at all times, a ruling Savior and a reaching out Savior, but he is a returning Savior and a rescuing one. In the book of Acts, as they were looking on and Jesus lifted up and went up into heaven in a cloud, the angels stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking thus into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven is going to come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He went up in a cloud. He's going to come down in a cloud. For what goes up must come down. Because he goes up, he's coming down again. He's returning. And he's returning to you in rescue. Not only to give you the kingdom at his coming, but when we die, or my dad died, or it's time for you and your departed loved ones to die, his ascension means that he's going to cause you to ascend at your departure from this world, up to heaven also, in a cloud. Because he led a host of captives in his train and gave gifts to men." When you die, his ascension means you're going to ascend to be with him where he is. And when he comes and descends on the last day, he's going to come, says 1 Thessalonians 3, with all of his saints, descending with him. And those Christians that are alive on earth at that time will be caught up and ascend and meet him in the clouds as he's coming down and be with him in his triumphal return to the earth. And at that return, he's going to give us the kingdom. That is an eternal kingdom of joy everlasting with him. "For Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, and not that time to deal with sin, but that time to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." So, the cross we should emphasize all the time. The resurrection we should emphasize all the time. But don't forget his ascension. It's essential. All the way through the New Testament, the theme, he is at the right hand of God. He is risen. He's alive. You can have a relationship with him. He's right there with you. He's never going to leave you. You're never alone. He's always with you. He's ruling with all power on your behalf in your life. Don't fear anybody. He's reaching out to you even now to save you in the Holy Spirit. He is a returning Savior, and he is a rescuing Savior to give you the kingdom. Thanks be to God for his resurrection and his ascension. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "The Ascension of Jesus into Heaven, What's That Mean for Us?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurch capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.